On this episode of Coding 101, we're getting back into PHP. It's time to do image manipulation.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Coding 101 is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Coding 101 is brought to you by Lynda.com. Invest in yourself for 2015. Lynda.com has thousands of courses to help you learn new tech, business, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/C101. That's LYNDA.com/C101. And by HipChat Plus. Collaborate, save time, and be more productive with your teams. HipChat Plus is IM, video chat, plus file, code, and screen sharing all in one place. Invite your team members and get a free 30-day trial of HipChat Plus at HipChat.com/C101. Welcome to Coding 101. It's the Twitch show where we let you into the wonderful world of the Code Monkey. I'm Father Robert Ballister, the Digital Jesuit, and I'm joined by our Code Warrior. He's here last week, Mr. Patrick Delahanty. He is the master of all things PHP. Patrick, thank you very much for coming back onto the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, last week, we gave people some basic PHP.
Yeah, very basic.
It was a loop.
It's stuff they've seen in the other languages we've covered here.
Mm-hmm. Which is what you want. You want to lay the foundation and then layer on it. So we layered on C#, and we layered on Perl, and now we're layering on PHP.
Yeah, we're going to skip a few layers and get to, like, coding 302.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. So as always, when we get closer to the end of the module, and this was only a two-episode module, we want to give you something that's a bit challenging. So this week, what are they going to be doing?
We're going to modify an image. We're going to take an image off the internet and add some text to it.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Actually, I've seen the demo already, and me likey. But before we get to the me likey, let's go ahead and talk about some of the little tidbits that have been going around the programming world. This one actually has me excited. Have you heard of YourWeb?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's a brand new programming language that's designed to take away some of the angst that you get if you're a web developer, specifically if you're a web developer. Now, you know this because you help keep the Twitch site running.
Yes.
Some of the issues that you're going to have if you're designing a website today is that a programmer is going to have to juggle multiple services, multiple languages, multiple modules. I mean, it's not like designing HTML 1.0 where you wrote a bunch of hypertext markup and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, for example, when you program here, what do you have to include?
All sorts of other bits of code that I've included and certain libraries. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's CSS, which is going to control the style of the page.
Yeah,
there's
XML. JavaScript, right. XML.
JavaScript, and Java. Maybe you're going to be dropping a Java module.
I have to call some JSON files.
JSON, maybe Silverlight. I mean, if you don't have video, I don't know.
No.
If you're Netflix. And maybe like the service code for accessing an ad network.
Yeah.
Or maybe a widget, like you want to put a calendar widget. These are all
a lot of API
things.
Calls.
Exactly. Now you know this. One of the things that I run into all the time is whenever I'm making a website like that and I'm calling on multiple languages and on multiple services, it's not always easy to lock them down as they should. I have a tendency to leave them a little bit open because I don't really know how the modules are going to interact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, for example, I have to do a MySQL or a SQL call so that it will interface properly with the widget, but the widget might actually be interacting with the ad service, and the ad service might actually change the way that my JavaScript code runs, and my JavaScript code needs to run a particular way not to break the CSS.
And then one of them doesn't update, and everything fails.
And we've actually seen that here on Twit TV. What was the last one that messed up the website?
It was the API for the Google Calendar.
Yeah, which doesn't sound like it should be able to break anything, but when you've got all these modules that are independent on one another, and when the designer, the programmer, is really the only one who knows how they interact, it happens way too often, far more than it probably should. Now, Patrick, what if I told you that there was a way that you could program with one interface, one language, and all of those things would be taken care of?
I'm skeptical.
Very skeptical because we've actually heard promises of this before. But let's give this one a go. As Brian showed you, this one is called UrWeb, UR/web. The idea is that you program in one interface what you need your site to do. What access does it have to do? Are you going to be doing database calls? Will you be serving ads? What kind of style sheets are you going to be using? Does it have JavaScript? Does it have Java? Does it have some weird protocol that you need in order to make a widget work? And then it decides what ports get open. It decides what languages get put in. And it decides how the modules interact with one another.
So it does all the configuration for you. It saves you from having to search for conflicts.
Right. And it does it in two different ways. The first one is that it uses very strongly typed variables. We've talked a little bit about this in some of the past episodes of Coding 101, where you go from a language that may have very, very strongly typed. So this variable is only integers. This variable is only characters. This variable is only floating points. That's strongly typed. And then you have like dynamic, where basically data can flow back and forth. It uses strongly typed variables, which means that you're not going to have to worry about data being misused or overflow. And it also uses what are they calling it? Variable scoping, to make sure that you're not going to run into overflow problems.
Now, I said I'm skeptical. What's the catch?
The catch is that no one really knows if this works yet.
Okay.
I mean, it's like every other unified language that has been promised. On paper, it sounds great. Theoretically, it could work. But I actually want to
have to
see.
Play with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's coming from us to us from the guys over at MIT. So I wouldn't say that you should abandon everything that you're doing right now and jump over to UrWeb. But if you have a chance, and if you're running like a sandbox, a development sandbox right now, it might be something you want to take a look at just to see if it lightens your programming load. What do you think?
Yes, worth
tweet
a look.
On UrWeb. Tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow, yeah, right. We'll see.
Now, a little bit of good news. We did get a lot of emails over the Christmas break from people who are saying, I really want to get into PHP. I'm so happy because Patrick's going to come back and do occasional PHP modules. Because,
I am?
Yes, you are. Because people like it. It's actually a very useful language, especially for those who maybe don't want to go hardcore app programming but do want to do web design. Right? PHP is incredibly useful. But people were complaining that they couldn't configure PHP on like the home server box that they created.
And
it can be daunting.
And it's different for different platforms.
Yeah.
And it can be a bit of a pain to get it configured. Once it's there, it's great.
Right. So over the Christmas break, and this is absolutely fantastic, a fan of the show by the name of Jared Bartimus, he owns a hosting service called Adabyte Hosting. He made an incredibly generous offer. We are not getting paid by him. Yeah. They're not advertisers on this network. But he wanted to do something for our people, specifically because he wanted programmers who wanted to get into PHP to have a place where they could test their code without having to buy expensive hosting. So this is what it is he's going to do. If you are a fan of Coding 101, and if you want development space, he'll give you 500 megabytes of storage. He'll give you 5 gigabytes of bandwidth per month. He'll give you PHP 5, Perl, Python coding support, MySQL, SQLite.
Wow.
He'll give you GD image manipulation support, full email access, SSH, SCP, SFTP, cPanel, and a subdomain on C101.net.
I think the fact he has C101.net is awesome.
That's kind of cool.
This is amazing. But how much?
No, it'll be free.
Free!
You said for at least six months. I mean, if it gets crazy, he's probably going to have to cover his costs. But, again, we're not advertising. We're not saying that you should go here. This is not for hosting. If you want to host a website, you can buy a hosting website. This is only for development. So this is only for your Coding 101 assignments, be it Perl, PHP, Ruby, when we get to it. He wanted to give you a nice pre-prepared way to test out your code.
And so where do we sign up?
We don't have a sign up yet.
Oh, okay.
He's going to create a landing page for us. I actually have to make sure I'm not going to get in trouble because this is, again, not an advertising. This is an offer from one fan of the Twit TV network to the other fans of the Twit TV network. I think it's incredibly generous.
Yeah, I'll put my code there.
Yeah. And it's, you know, because we both know we've got readily available PHP installs, but not everybody does.
Right.
Yeah. There we go. Now, when we come back, we're going to be showing you the demonstration of his super cool, I'm going to use this word, bad mamma jamma PHP image manipulation program. I think it's awesome. But before we do that, let's go ahead and thank the first sponsor of this episode of Coding 101, and that's lynda.com. Now, if you've watched me on the Twit TV network at all, you know what lynda.com is. It is the one-stop shop, the repository of knowledge on the internet. Whether you want to learn new skills, refresh your old ones, or just stay up to date on the software that you need to use today, lynda.com is the place to go. They have over 4,500 courses on topics like web development, photography, visual design, and business, as well as software training like Excel, WordPress, and photography. All their courses are taught by experts, and new courses are added to the site each and every single week. Now, we want to challenge you to do something good for yourself in 2015, and we want to challenge you with a free 10-day trial on lynda.com. Do you want to improve your job skills to ask your boss for a raise? Or maybe you want to make yourself more marketable in finding a new job? Are you looking to explore that new hobby? Maybe quadcopters, maybe programming, I don't know, maybe sewing. Maybe you want to set new financial goals or find a better work-life balance. Lynda.com has course tracks for all of that. Now, some of the courses and videos that I recommend are Foundations of Programming. That's always important, like Fundamentals for PHP and MySQL Essential Training. Maybe you want to do simple Android development tools or programming for non-programmers, iOS 8 if you're an iPhone person, and Code Clinic, an innovative series where each month Lynda.com issues a code challenge and authors share their solutions using a variety of different programming languages. We use lynda.com here at the Twit Brick House all the time. We are finally in the full-scale switchover to our new editing stations, and that means our editors are moving from Final Cut to Adobe Premiere Pro. Well, they use lynda.com to find the answers to how things translate between the two editing suites, and that's just one of the things that lynda.com is perfect for. Now, do something good for yourself in 2015 and sign up for a free 10-day trial to lynda.com by visiting lynda.com/C101. That's lynda.com/C101. With your membership, you'll get unlimited access to every course on lynda.com, including access to your iOS and Android devices, plus new courses as they're added each week. That's lynda.com/C101 to try it free for 10 days. Go ahead. I challenge you to learn something new in 2015. And we thank lynda.com for their support of Coding 101.
That'll be great for people that need to catch up on PHP.
Yeah, because we are making a sizable jump. Don't worry. You're going to be confused. Oh, and by the way, I also understand that the code for last week, the notes messed up. That's my fault. I thought I had set things on automatic.
CES.
I was at CES and on vacation.
We'll get it up.
We'll fix that.
Yeah.
But last week, it was just introduction. This is how it works. Here's a loop. Yep. Here's how to put data out. We're getting significantly more advanced today.
Yeah. Now, I think I had ended last time on submitting a form, and that's where we'll start this time. But there's a lot of stuff in between that we're kind of skipping over.
Right.
But that's okay, because if you've watched the other modules, you pretty much know how a for loop works and all the other functions
exactly.
of programming.
Yeah.
And so if you've been paying attention, you can figure out where to go with PHP. So we're kind of skipping over that and going right to something cool.
Yeah. Now, even though this is a skip, again, as Patrick mentioned, these aren't topics that you've never heard before. It's just that you haven't heard specifically how to do them with PHP. It's going to be more loops. It's going to be more decision statements, if then else type stuff. So if you want to know how to do that with PHP, there's always plenty of tutorials on the internet, or just use your 10-day lynda.com free trial to study up on PHP so that you'll understand what we're doing. I think we got to start with the demo, right?
Yes,
let's
absolutely.
Just start with the demo. One of the biggest things that you can do with PHP, and what I love doing with PHP, is it's actually quite good at image manipulation. There's a lot of libraries that you can access where you can take an image and do something to it with very little effort. Patrick, you want to show them what you cooked up?
Yeah, Brian, if you can bring up my screen, I've got a form similar to last week's module, and up here it's just enter your name. So we can enter Brian Burnett. That's him. And so when I submit the form, what we get back is Brian's name on the album
now,
art.
Now, we should mention this is not an overlay. This is not just the Coding 101 album art with text on the bottom. This is an image. See?
Yeah.
It's been baked as an image. So PH, the code that he wrote, takes an existing image and it allows you to do manipulation that easily. Now, you could, I mean, this you added text, but you could have had that image manipulation pretty much do anything that you wanted.
Yeah, I could have put in a watermark. I could have rotated the image. I could have done all sorts of crazy stuff with these image libraries. But I just said, I'm going to take the album art and just change the name.
let me back it off a little bit. Whenever I see image manipulation, like, for example, there was a router trick I did for April Fool's where I was reversing images or adding things to images. It always seems to use PHP and maybe some CGI scripting in the back. Why is that? Why does that seem to be the language of choice for image manipulation on the web?
Well, this was actually very easy to do because I didn't have to install any sort of libraries. They're already there.
Right.
And so I was able to take advantage of those and just change the image.
And as we know from our previous modules, anytime you can take existing code, something that someone else wrote, and do what you want, that's always a time saver.
Yeah, I don't know how JPEGs work, but there's libraries there that do it for me. So all right. Just say take A, make it look like B.
Now let's go ahead and confuse people. Let's jump into your code. First of all, show us the overview. This is way more than just a loop, but what do I have to do?
Well, I start off, I have to have the font in place. And so I've got a TrueType font, Arial, pretty standard, and I just put that on the server with it, and I told it here where the font is. Otherwise, it doesn't know how to format the text.
Right, and by the way, be it Windows or Mac, you will always be able to find either a program or a folder that will tell you all the fonts that are available on your system. So just choose one of those, and you'll be good to go.
And so I just FTP'd it right up here. And,
right.
Then I set the font size. I used 40 because when I compared it to the actual album art, it looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then here is what we saw last week. It's setting text to get name. So this is getting the form submission for the variable name. So when I submitted that form with Brian's name, it set name equals Brian Burnett.
Right. So what this line is doing is it's first creating a variable called text, and then it's using the get command, which says, okay, let's go ahead and get some user input.
Yep.
And it's saying, give me that, and dump it into text.
Exactly.
All right.
And so then I need to figure out the dimensions of the text I entered. So what this is doing is seeing if it will fit. just as reference, the base image I'm using is the 600 by 600 album art. And so I have to make sure that the space I have in there for the name, that it doesn't get longer. Mm. And so what I do is I get the dimensions of the text. And so here it takes into account the font size, the font name, and the text, and figures out like the box around that text. And I have these commented out just for reference, but these are variables. It's an array that gets set with the coordinates of the lower left, lower right, the X and the Y coordinates of each corner.
So imagine the box, it's an X, Y plot. And you need to have the four corners so it knows whether or not the thing's
going to
fit.
Yeah, so I can measure from X to X and Y to Y, figure out how tall it is or how wide it is. And here I need to know how wide it is because if it's too wide...
Actually, that's the question. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to let the code know how big the box is?
If I've entered too much text, it's going to go way outside that image. And so some of us here at Twit have really long names.
Right.
And maybe it doesn't fit. And so we need to adjust. So what I do here is I check the upper right X. And so this tells me if it's greater than 400, which is the size I determined that area should be, 400 pixels, reduce the font size.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a while loop, so it keeps going until
it gets under 400.
Until that. So it keeps reducing the font size until it finally fits.
Yeah.
And so then this next line here, I yank the base image off the interwebs. So all this is doing is getting the image that I'm using as the sort of template.
Now, that's interesting because you didn't have to modify the image before it came in. You're pulling it straight off the internet.
Yeah. And I didn't have to have this on my server. I just point it right at CacheFly,
right,
where we have the album art for the show.
And remember, the original album art actually has my name on it.
Yeah.
So you have to write code to make sure that's not going to show up.
I'll show you what the original looks like. Okay. I'll just copy this out and we'll paste it into a window here. There's the original. That's what I'm grabbing. And it's got the text in here. My font didn't quite match, but, you know, close enough. And so that's the image I'm loading into this code.
All right. So far, we've got the text that we had. First of all, we had to load the font. Then we took the text from the user. Then we figured out how big that text is going to be, and we started shrinking it down if it wasn't going to fit into the box that we have allocated.
Yep.
And now we've pulled the original album art onto which we're going to put our text box.
Yes.
All right, continue.
So next, I'm telling it I need a background color, and I need black so I can hide the Father Robert Balasar. No disrespect.
I want to hide it all the time.
So I just set the background color to black, and then I set my text color here to white. And so these are using RGB values for the color. Yeah. It's the first number is the red, second is green, third is blue. And so it varies from 0 to 255. And through combination of those three numbers, you can get any color.
That's like 16 million colors.
And more colors than you need.
It's a ridiculous pod.
So,
now, something else that it's actually interesting to note here is we could just use that. So what you're doing here with background colors, you could use backgrounds of different colors and boxes of different sizes to do massive image manipulation. It would take a while, but it doesn't have to be just text.
Yeah, I could use those to put bar graphs in the image if I wanted to.
Okay. All right. So so now we're at the point where we have something to cover up Father Robert Balasar because we got to get rid of it, which means we now have the image pulled from the internet. And it's ready for us to put our text box on.
Yeah, it knows what color I want the background to be. Yep. It knows what color I want the text to be. And so the next step is to fill in the background. So this image-filled rectangle. And these are all just standard libraries that I'm calling. And there's plenty of references to these online. And we can find a link to these and put it in the show notes. But so this image-filled rectangle is filling the image, which is referring back up here to the album art, and it's filling between these coordinates, 150, 525, so that is the top of the album art part where the name is, that black bar, down to 600 by 600, which is the very bottom right corner of the image. So that just makes it put that black box over the name. So if I ended the code here, all we'd get was Coding 101 art with no name on it.
With no, it's just a black box.
And that's where I want to start.
Now, it's interesting. CodeMonkey23, there's a discussion going on in the chat room right now of, well, how come you didn't start with PHP? There's a reason why I didn't start with PHP, which is it's kind of messy. It's not actually a good language to learn on. It's a great language to do things with on the web. But as far as learning structure and how functions actually work, there's at least a dozen different languages that I'd start with rather than PHP.
Yes, I learned on other languages, but it was very easy to take what I learned in those other languages, C, Pascal, even going back to BASIC, I learned fundamentals, and now that I have PHP, it's easy to just whip up something.
This is more of like an applied language.
Yeah, once you know how everything works, this is a nice relaxation programming language.
Relaxation programming.
It's in my vacation language.
Oh, so you're on the beach. You're like, you know what? I'm let's bust out some
whip
PHP.
Out some PHP. All right.
So, okay, now we've got the box and it's ready. It's completely prepared. It's a blank slate, but now we have to actually add something in. This is where people are going to start getting lost because it's not, again, it's not an overlay. It's not as if you took that blank image and put a text box over the top. You've actually baked into the image. Show us how you do that.
Yes. So next, I had to tell it the X and Y coordinates for my text. And this was the start of the first letter, the bottom of the first letter, where that has to appear on the image. And so I messed around with these numbers a bit until it looked right. It took some trial and error. I could have measured it out in Photoshop, but it was easier to just guess and then adjust it. So after I've determined the X and Y coordinates, I put it all together. And so that takes the image with the font size and then puts in the X and Y coordinates, the text color and the font and the actual text I want to put in. It puts all of that on that image.
Right.
And so that is what puts the final thing together. And then I just have to present it to the user. So I tell it, I set the header for the request. So this is telling it, it's not returning HTML, it's returning an image. And so I have it set to this MIME type, which is content type, image, JPEG.
Now, that function, so image, TTF, text, right there, yes. I could, if I wanted to, I could have hard-coded parameters into that.
Yeah.
So everything that came before it was to give it functionality, to get something from the user, to pull in an image, to figure out what size the font should be. But if I had all that information...
Yeah, to make sure it fits and adjust it. But if I had all the information from the start, if I had fixed text, I knew the size, I could put it right in there and have it all in one line.
But as we've talked about before, you could do it, it just, then it's not a very useful program.
And if I didn't figure out if the font size fixed it... Somebody enters a different name, it's going to look all weird.
Right. So where does that function come from? That's just included in PHP? Or was that something you had to pull down?
No, nothing was downloaded or installed. This is a standard PHP installation, at least on my web host. Yeah,
that's why PHP is so popular with image manipulation. That line, put it all together, you could do everything in that line. Everything else is gravy to make it more useful and make the final product a little nicer.
Now, for comparison, if I had done this in Perl, I would have to install Image Magic. I'd have to go to CPAN and grab stuff.
Yep.
And there's a lot more work for me to do. I can't just sit down, print this out.
I was trying to think of everything I would do in C# to make that happen. That's a pain.
Bit of a nightmare.
It's like three different packages you'd have to load up.
Different languages have different strengths.
Right.
Perl may be regular expressions. PHP, it's just quick and
dirty web.
Yeah.
If you do web presentation, PHP is very, very good. All right, but there are a couple of lines left here. So what do you do?
Close this out. And so I set the header. You may remember this from the Perl module where when I printed the HTML output, I had to put content type is text/HTML. Here I'm telling it my content is an image and it's JPEG. And then I just output the image, and there's an image JPEG which prints my image as JPEG content, so all the ones and zeros are in the right place. I don't know how JPEGs work, but I don't have to know.
All right.
And then it just cleans it up and destroys the temporary image because I don't need it anymore.
Right, and that's good programming. That's garbage collection.
Yeah.
So, I'm really bad at that. Most of the time, it's it's working, forget it. And then if you run it long enough, you end up with all this crap floating around.
Yeah. And so that's how this works. And, it's just there's a lot more you can do with this.
Yeah.
And this is just one example.
Now, this is the funny thing. We talked about how this is a jump from what we did last week. Last week was just with a little bit of a loop and some out statements. Even though that this is more complicated, the code itself is ridiculously short. And again, you're playing into the strength of PHP. In fact, you're playing into the strength of a lot of object-oriented languages, which is you have a lot of existing code from which you can pull from.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to do some final recall here. We're going to wrap up this project, and hopefully Patrick can give us some hints on what we should be doing as we try out our PHP. But first, let's go ahead and talk about the second sponsor of this episode of Coding 101, and it's a new one. You may not have heard of this sponsor. They're pretty new on the Twit TV network. It's HipChat. Now, what is HipChat? Have you heard of HipChat before?
Yeah, I've used HipChat.
It's actually fantastic. Now, imagine this. It's business communications. Now, I know there's going to be people out there who go, wait a minute, we communicate in my business. We've got email, we've got text, some of us have pagers, we have voicemail, we have video calls. But even though that may work, and even though that is a good way to communicate, there's plenty of good suites out there, HipChat is specifically designed for businesses. And businesses are the ones who are going to love HipChat because it allows you to keep a history of what your communication looks like. Let me explain why that's important. When your team communicates, when they use a variety of programs, from email, IM, texting, cloud storage, document sharing apps, they have little bits and pieces of the answer everywhere. And if you've ever had to do forensics on your project planning to figure out where a good idea came from or where a bad idea came from, you know that you want an easy way to look back through time of your communications, and figure out what happened when. That's what HipChat lets you do. It gives you a time machine so you can see the genesis of that next great idea. They give you IM, video chat, document sharing, screen sharing, system updates, and code sharing integration, which is important for our audience, in one simple platform. Email is too slow, meetings get sidetracked, and regular IM doesn't work well for groups. But HipChat keeps your team in sync. and it works from any device, no matter where you are. Now, the best part is that HipChat integrates with the top developer tools like GitHub, Jira, Zendesk, and more. You go to their website and check out the 57 services that HipChat plays nice with to see if maybe you don't have to do much integration at all. Just turn on HipChat and start working better. They bring your entire project and team together in one communication suite. It's easy to set up, it's fun to use, and it makes you productive. Now, here's what we want you to do. We want you to try HipChat Plus. You can get your team on the same page in seconds. I want you to try them for free, no credit card required. Visit hipchat.com/C101. Click on Start Chatting to sign up now. Then invite a few team members, and all the features are free for 30 days. After the free trial, you can always stick with the freemium version. Remember, that's hipchat.com/C101. And here's a super secret piece for everyone who wants to act now. If you sign up now, the first 100 signups are going to get their free trial extended to 90 days. That's hipchat.com/C101. hipchat.com/C101. HipChat, your team, your project, in sync, instantly. And we thank HipChat for their support of Coding 101. Patrick, very cool. We were chatting back and forth a bit about this, and you were rubbing your hands together gleefully saying, I want to optimize this. You could have made this long spaghetti code, but this is so easy to understand. Yeah. We're going to make this available for them, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And while you were talking, I changed a little bit of the code here. So if we go to the screen, let me submit. Enter your name, the Twit Army. And I changed the album art. I just called in. I just changed the line. So, yeah.
Actually,
it's that easy.
Whoa. So, yeah, that's right. You could do this for any image. So we could take an image that doesn't work. So maybe, find a picture of bunnies? Get your bunnies here.
I got to find an image online.
Okay. Let me explain what's going on right now. He's just going to change a line in the code on where it draws the raw image from. That's probably not going to match up, because the code's been optimized for our album art. Yeah, just pull the castle.
Yeah,
there we go.
We'll use a castle.
So here's an image that you can pull off the internet. He's going to replace the cache fly line. So that's pulling the raw image. Yep. He's going to replace it with that castle.
This random castle. I don't even know where it is. Castle. Never seen it before.
There we go.
As long as it's a JPEG. If it was a PNG, I'd have to change a few other things.
Right. Okay, so now it's going to pull this out. It's and so we should be getting an overlay on the bottom. It's probably going to look horrible because nothing's going to be just... There we go.
Yeah, it's still planned for... Coding 101's not really in there. That's just in the video. But it's planned for the 600 by 600. So.
Actually, this is a challenge that we can give.
But now you can see the black box that it put in, and you can see how that part worked because it was kind of hidden before.
I see a challenge that we can hand off to people. Because remember, you're going to be able to download this code in its entirety.
You can write a function
to figure out how big the image is, and then it can determine where it's going to put the box and how big it should be.
Well, I would just love to see people take this code and do other things to images on the internet. Like, maybe...
Nope.
I'm sure people are getting ideas already. And I can't wait to see examples. I want to see next week. I hope there's time for some of the examples.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to have time.
Good.
Patrick, thank you so very much. And as I mentioned, we're going to have you back on to do these quick hits for PHP because, again... even though it's not a language of choice for me, I don't like to learn or teach people on PHP, it is a great language to learn if you're going to be doing functional things on the internet, like we do here all the time at Twitter.
And there's fun stuff you can do.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic.
So we'll do a 1-2 punch. Yeah.
We're going to make all the code from this episode and from the last episode. And again, I'm sorry for that. I went on vacation and I went
busy.
To CES. That was totally my fault. But we're going to have it ready for you to download. So you don't have to copy anything off the screen. Don't worry about that. It's going to be on our show notes page. Just go to twit.tv/coding or C101. They all go to the same place. You'll be able to find our show notes along with a link where you can download everything that Patrick was just playing with. Now, go ahead and watch our episode again if you want to see how it works. But the comments in the code are actually pretty good. That's pretty much all you're going to need.
Yeah.
Now, don't forget that we do this show live every Thursday at 1:30 p.m. If you drop by our live stream at live.twit.tv, you'll see the pre-show, the post-show, and everything in between, including the bits and pieces that we cut out. It's one of the things that we do. We do this for you. It actually makes it more difficult for us to produce our shows, but we owe it to our audience to let them see how the sausage is made. And as long as you're going to watch live, why not jump into our chat room at irc.twit.tv? I actually pull questions directly from the chat room. I talk to you. I see what you're doing so that we can change what we cover in our show. Again, it's part of the live experience. Don't forget that we also have a Google Plus group. Just search for Coding 101. Jump in there. There are code experts. If you have a question, if you get stuck, if you can't get to me, they're actually a really good place to go because they'll help you and they'll help you figure out what you want to do for your next project. And finally, thanks again to you, Patrick. Where can they find you on the internet? Where can they find your projects?
Well, I've got a new project that I just launched at the beginning of the year called Back to the Predictions. And it's looking at Back to the Future 2 and judging all of their future predictions. So check out backtothepredictions.com. And every day at 4:29 p.m., that's the date, the time that he went into the future, there's a new judgment on the film. So... DeLoreans, sorry we don't have them.
There are a lot of memes about all the things that got wrong, but 2015 just started.
So I'm going into excruciating detail. The garbage in the background. Laser discs. I love laser discs.
No, yeah, those are gone. Brian, I believe, Brian, you mentioned that they're coming up with self-buckling or self-strapping shoes, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Nike is coming out with the shoes, apparently, this year.
The Air Mags, they're coming up very soon, because I'm going in order, and so they're coming up very soon on this blog.
Where can they find that again?
Backtothepredictions.com.
And also adequate.com, right? What do you do on adequate.com?
I just link to my other sites. Okay. I should really link to that one. I haven't done it yet.
And you've got a Twitter account, yes?
Yes, at P. Delahanty.
Yeah, and you can find me at PadreSJ. That's twitter.com/PadreSJ. It's a great place to go if you want to follow me and find out what I do in between shows. Until next time, he's Patrick Delahanty. He's a lot taller than I am.
And he's Father Robert Ballister.
And what did we say at the end of Coding 101? I totally forgot. It's been such a long time.
End of line.